Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. So glad you're with me and two PhD psychologists licensed to do therapy from a Christian perspective, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton. Hi there. How are you?
Hello. I was busy yesterday tapping into the inner adolescent boy. I was reading Spider-Man comics and doing racing videos. I'm really trying to lean in with my 8-year-old son.
Yes.
I'm learning a lot lately.
I remember that stage when mine tried to use his webs while he was on the roof. And a passerby stopped and knocked on our door and said, "Do you realize your child is on the roof saying he's going to use his webs?"
Okay.
In his Spider-Man outfit.
Okay. But he survived.
He did survive.
Henry, if you're listening, don't you dare.
Yeah. Well, I got a question for you guys. I'm doing a series on toxic faith in the Going Deeper series that I'm doing. And I'm going through every toxic faith belief. And, you know, for me, having written the book, I get a lot of letters and emails, or have over the years, about somebody finds the book, reads about it, realizes that their church is, it's not all healthy. I was just wondering, in your practice over the years, do you ever see anybody coming to you where they've been impacted by a church or the leadership where you'd have to say, man, that isn't exactly what God intended when he established his church?
It's been unsettling to hear how often women whose husband has been unfaithful have been given strong advice by their pastors to return, to be more intimate, to be nicer, to be kinder. Really shakes them up and very confusing, of course, to receive that.
Now, if you talk to that pastor, he would say, "I never said it was her fault. I didn't say that at all. I just said it'd be great to be more intimate with him." Well, you know, you didn't say the words, but essentially the direction is toward her versus what we would say to her is, if he is in trouble and he has been unfaithful, then you need to set a boundary here because you don't know the extent of it. You don't know if he's slept with someone else, what kind of problem that could produce for you if you were intimate with him. We would be doing exactly the opposite of that advice. But the goal would be, let's get things under control. Let's don't create danger here for each other. Then we can produce the help that we need. But anybody thinking that when a man has been unfaithful, that her being more available is going to heal that or prevent that from happening again, really kind of what we would call clinically stupid.
Well, and I think that's
not good advice.
I think that some pastors just don't have an understanding of the arm of the body, which is the counseling piece, right? And what we do that's different than what they do. And I think some of it is just ignorance, right, and lack of training or blind spots in themselves. And it's important for all of us to know when we hit up against our limitations, when we just don't know, because we can't all be all things to all people.
Right. You know, one of the things today I'm doing an episode, it may air at another time, but I'm doing the episode on that just because it's not in the Bible doesn't mean that there is a truth that isn't relevant. In other words, but I'm also talking about just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean it's relevant. Now you might say, oh, that's heresy. No, because there were cultural laws, practices, cultural rituals that don't apply today. Moral law applied then, and it applies today. So be talking about that. But a lot of people really mess up it in Bible interpretation because they don't understand that. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you're with us today. Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Alice Benton, and we're in 1-800-229-3000. By the way, you know, I think last quarter, New Life received $1,715 from the Smile Amazon.com program, where you know the portion of what you buy on Amazon, if you list New Life as the charity of your choice, they give us a portion. So if everybody did that, it'd be so great for us.
And it's simple, and it really does benefit us.
But you can't do it from your phone. You have to do it. I don't think so.
All right. Well, let's. How about we got my call screen right here. Let's go to Mary from Meridian, Idaho. And she is listening on KBXL. Glad that she is. Hello there. How are you?
Well, I'm in a turmoil. I have been the past month trying to do what I think it was Alice or maybe Sherry or one of the gals. I called and I had some real questions. I was contemplating getting a dog and realized that if I did that, my husband would have his thumb on me. And she said, Mary, you need to just stand up. And so I began in gingerly ways to do that, to share my truth when I got put downs or the controlling situation. Then this past, about 10 days ago, I was trying to get my husband to talk to me, and I took his phone, and I stepped way back, and he came off of the couch in a rage and attacked me, and he even had red eyes. I've never seen this before, never seen this from this man. We've only been married a short time. I have done some counseling. I have gone and, you know, done all the protocol. I'm still a nervous wreck. I went to the emergency room, and I had some bruising and some things.
Oh,
but
Mary.
My question is, what is the next step? Some say... press charges, the police did come. I did a 911 call. At first, I was going, oh, no, I don't need to do that because it'll make it worse. But I realized I needed to, I guess, stand up. And
okay,
so
Mary?
Okay,
Mary. I am
yes.
I'm just so sorry for what you have been through. We want to help you here. Now, how long have you been married to him?
2 years in October.
Two years. All right. Now, when whomever it was said to stand up, they were saying that I think they meant to let him know how much you would like to have a dog. Was that the original thing?
Well, it has been all kinds of things over the 2 years. We built a home, and so it was.
But I'm just asking, when you were told to stand up, you say it was a dog issue. You wanted a dog, but you knew he wouldn't want a dog. Is that right?
Well, of course the implication was for me to be kind, speak my truth, and realize that I need to be more assertive, not the codependent, not the pleaser, not this, that, and the other, that there needed to be some change.
Yeah.
So that's what I started doing, is in a kind way.
Okay, that's really good to hear, because what we also say is, you know, you to have peace, which means peace in his heart, peace in your heart, not
yes.
just peace in his heart. Sometimes you have to disturb the peace. You have to do something different. Now, you did that, and you didn't comply, and then that produced not just rage, but it caused physical harm to you, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Physical
yeah.
harm.
How did
yeah.
it escalate to you taking the phone?
Well, I had just asked him if we could talk, and we had brand new phones, and it was just a big problem. So I just had gone to bed. I came back, and I said, "Paul, can we just talk, please?" And he looked up at me, and I just sort of took it from him and went to the back of the room to try to talk with him. And he came off of the couch and lunged at me, and I just was
okay.
freaked out, and then we fell on the floor.
Okay.
So,
I was just curious how that came about. Regardless, his behavior was not okay.
No,
and
absolutely
right.
not.
How has he reacted? What has he done to try to restore your relationship since he attacked you?
Nothing. Hmm. Because I am wrong. He is a retired law enforcement, and it just...
Are you still at home with him since then, Mary?
My fault.
Are you back at home with him?
I am at the home because all my monies I built this home with. He has been going to his son's house or going out of town. He comes and goes, which is very unnerving. He has guns. He has a lot
okay.
of different things going
Mary,
on.
When you think about pressing charges, what holds you back from doing that?
What holds me back is that I want God to work in his heart.
God works through consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And this man is not demonstrating remorse. He's demonstrating that his behavior is escalating towards you. He's dangerous.
Yeah.
He is
mm-hmm.
dangerous, and he has dangerous weapons that he has access to. The Bible tells
yeah.
us, Proverbs 19:19, that if we don't allow an angry man to have the consequences of his behavior, we're going to suffer from his anger again. Now, the correct consequences might be pressing charges. It might be not. It might be some sort of a separation from him. But if you don't take action, there are no signs that this man will change on his own without consequences. Now, consequences could also escalate his anger even more. So you also have to have a safety plan, because he'll be even angrier
right.
mm-hmm. if you enforce any consequences.
Yes.
And that's scary.
Well, and I wonder
yes.
if you could first ask him, maybe in writing, since he's on his phone a lot, what is he willing to do to repair this huge rupture
yeah.
in your relationship? Is he willing to go to counseling? Is he willing to get some help? Obviously, you guys need a professional, because you're not able to
yes.
discuss things. So what is he willing to do? And then if he's willing to do nothing, then I think
yeah,
go
right.
to that next step. But first, you know, he may not be able to put into words. He may not be able to say, "I'm sorry." There may be a lot of pride, all of those things. But if he said, "Yes, I would be willing
yeah.
to go get help," okay,
yeah.
then that's a next step.
Let me clarify this, Jill. I think better, rather than say, "What would you be willing to do?"
Mm-hmm.
ask him specifically if he would join you in getting some marriage counseling from a third party, because just leaving it open-ended, he might say, I don't know.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I think
a male therapist.
Yeah. Yeah, I found a male therapist. His name is this. This is where he practices. He's a Christian. Would you be willing to join me there? I think, given what has happened, the least we could do is see if somebody could help us pull this back together. Now, if he's not willing to do that, then you've got these major decisions to make
mm-hmm.
for safety and for your future. But to do now, you grabbed his phone. Okay. One time, my wife, I was on the phone, we were on a trip, we first got married. My wife said, "Can I see your phone?" And she took it. and threw it in the back of the car. We had an SUV, and she took it, threw it in the back of the car. She goes, okay, now we can talk. All right, so what did I do? I died laughing. It was so hilarious that she just, didn't throw it out of the car. So I'm saying he had a lot of choices of how to react to that. He could have said, this is the worst thing you could do. You need to put my phone down or whatever. But it produced a horrific response or reaction. And I got to tell you, I think you're fortunate that you see this over a phone, because down the road there may be something that would have been more threatening to him, that he was out of control or whatever. So I think it is A, will you go, let us find the therapist for you. Will you go see this man with me? If he says no, then I think you need to go see that therapist and chart a course. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's then that person knowing in the community what's available. Here's what I need to do to stay safe. Here's the, it's press charges, restraining order, or whatever. But and do not move out of that house. You stay right where you are, if at all possible. Now, I'm going to send you, take your life back. Yes, you had one more question?
I did, because I have seen some professionals already, and they suggested that because of his background in law enforcement and had really never had counseling when he was employed, he should see by himself a counselor that deals with law enforcement and knows those issues that they incur in their head over periods of years, seeing the dregs of humanity.
I think that would be great if you were able to say to him, there is a group who understand how you could react this way and the way your mind works, and you give him the option. You either need to go to this person, and here's how you get in touch with them, and then we need to get some marriage counseling together, or we can do both at the same time. So I think that's really helpful what the person told you to do. That would be great. But here again, you're giving him an option, which he's going to hate. It's kind of like an ultimatum. He will hate that. So I would even say, I want to give you some time to think about this.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
And in the next couple of days, I'll check back with you, because I know that this is uncomfortable for you. But I want to offer a little bit of hope there. Now, when you're saying you were wanting God to move in his heart, it's more like wishing than anything else, because his heart is very, very hard. See, and Alice was saying the consequences many times will cause initial walls to go up higher and deeper, but then after the dust settles, it could be the crack in the barrier that actually helps you get to and connect with his heart. And that's what we want to see. So anybody else that's sitting there, you're saying, I'm just hoping God will do something. Well, if there's probably no evidence that this person is even willing for God to do something. And that's where we have to do something other than be passive. Solving a problem like this is not solved with passivity or waiting for God to do what God is waiting for you to do. So I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back and Healing is a Choice, and I hope that will help you in dealing with this. Anything else, Alice or Jill, you want to add to that?
Nope. I think that covers it.
All right. Let's go to, Mark from Sulphur Springs. KWRD is the station. We'll go to you right after this commercial break. And a commercial. I don't know if it's a commercial, but I guess they do have commercials. We'll be back after this. Let me remind everybody that if you give a gift of any amount, this is a tough time for a lot of people. We talked about it yesterday. We have not only the Emotional Freedom Workshop coming up, but if you give a gift, we'll send you this wonderful book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression. And this book can really unlock some things for you, how to react and respond that can be healing rather than hurtful. And this is a tough time of year. Everything gets brighter except for the person's heart. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. I was going to Mark. Now we're going to Mark. Mark, how are you today?
Stephen, Mylon, and is it Jill?
Or Jill Derek? And Alice and Steve are on today.
Hi, Mark.
Jill, Alice, Steve, and Mylon. Is Mylon?
Mylon's not here today. No.
We all wish you were.
He was here yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. How could we help?
First of all, I want to praise and lift up your ministry.
Take your time.
You guys do an amazing work, and I have listened to so many things that you guys have touched upon and sorted out and unknitted, and then helped to knit back together. And I just love your ministry. My question is, I fell in love with a gal when I was a teenager, and our family split us apart, and we've gone, you know, of course, we've had some baggage attached to each other through the last 30 years, but we have started to reconnect, and my question is, what can I do concerning being positive and productive, which I love this gal, in the year? We're supposed to reconnect in about a year, face-to-face, and we're taking our time. I'm in Texas, and she's in Minnesota. Are there workbooks?
Quick question.
Do you recommend counsel?
Yeah. Okay, quick question. Is she married, or are you married?
We are both divorced.
Both divorced. How long has she been divorced? How long have you been divorced?
I am at 7 years, and I believe she's at, I don't know exactly, I would say maybe about the same time. It's been a while for her, so we've had time to...
Got it. And I'm not discouraging this. I'm just curious. And why is it that a year is going to go before you're together? Just curious about that.
It's just a money issue. It's just we're trying to plan this out accordingly, so we're not clashing together. And just, you know what I'm saying?
You're saying you're going to get married in a year, or you're going to start dating in a year? I'm confused.
I'm sorry. We're going to get back together face-to-face and go from there. And we've been chatting for months.
So you're going to continue to connect long distance. And so does this mean that somebody's going to move?
Yes. Either I'm going to get up to her, or we're going to get back to... I spent 30 years in Colorado Springs, and that's where my son's at with my ex, and her sons are grown, and my son just turned 14, and I spend time with him 2 to 3 times a year. I'm sure that throws in another wrench in the spokes.
Well, I want to answer your question. I want us to answer your question and give you some good strategy going forward. And why don't we start with you, Jill, and then Alice. And, you know, two people, they're seeing reality, not rushing into it. What is the best course?
Well, Mark, when you have a teenage love and it isn't your decision to leave that, I think that that's something, especially having then gone on and married and divorced, right? You see people later in life coming back and idealizing what they had when they were young. right? And that there was something about that innocence, that young love that you never forget. And it can be highly intoxicating. So I would just want, I mean, I'm glad that you guys are taking time to really emotionally reconnect and get to know each other all over again, because you're not the same people you were as teenagers.
Right, right. And there's a, right, and there's a 30, there's a three decade gap.
Right. And you guys were split apart and then you went your separate ways. It sounds like there hasn't been a lot of contact in that time. So it's really important, I think, that both of you are in reality, that you have your eyes wide open, that you each, you've had time to sort through your previous marriages, but I think really honestly looking at what went wrong in that marriage.
Yeah.
What am I bringing? What's my baggage that I'm bringing into this new relationship? And what are the my fantasies and idealizations that I have about this rekindling?
And it's so powerful, Jill, to say, what did I do in this marriage that I might react the same way with this person and produce a similar problem? And when we come back, I want to hear from Alice, but you can hear the music, but... This is so great that you're calling now, Mark. I do this program called Life Recovery Today. We were interviewing Kristen Carey, and my wife was her original sponsor. On the honeymoon, she called my wife and said, this is a horrible thing. And my wife said, well, all of your hopes and dreams were just hopes and dreams. Now you have reality. And I thought that was so good. Well, she did too. So now you have to know that reality, like Jill's saying, is going to be different than all the hopes and dreams that you might have even kept through that other marriage for 30 years. We'll talk about that right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we are having a great conversation with Mark, rekindled romance. Alice, your thoughts after 30 years.
I've got a tough question for you, Mark, so brace yourself.
Uh-oh. Hold on.
Yes.
Daddy? Why are you willing to move by this woman and you don't live by me? Why am I so unimportant to you that you only see me 2 or 3 times a year, Daddy?
That's a good one.
So, Mark, you don't have to have the answer now, but you got to figure that out.
Yeah.
Because this will hurt your son.
Right.
And this will take you farther away from your son, even though geographically you might be closer, but this will take you farther away from him. And you're already way too far from him.
Yeah, it's a really good question,
you know,
Alice.
That's a... you know, thank you. Thank you for saying that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that really... that really is a... double-edged sword.
I am sure it is so complicated. Why you don't live by him?
I went through so much hurt, and I'm still I still haven't dealt with all of the hurt of his mother. Mm-hmm. And it is so compounding and so multifaceted, and it comes down to, it almost comes down to child abuse in my eyes. But
wait a second. Hold on a second. You're saying your wife was almost like abusive to your child?
In the things that she says, and then and in her candor.
Okay, and then now, and you're letting him live with her.
I am working on rebuilding a lot of things. It's been 7 years. It's mm-hmm. been a just it's like punching a brick wall, and I don't have any gloves on.
Yeah.
So she paints you bad to your son.
Yeah.
She martyrs him. She martyrs him against me. Mm-hmm. She talks down. My child support is caught up.
Hey, Mark.
Okay.
I want to say something.
Yes, sir.
I've got 9 calls waiting, but this is important. And I'm not going to get to all those 9 calls, but this is important.
Yes, sir.
Don't move forward with a new relationship if this old relationship after 7 years is still painful
still burning.
And mm-hmm. yeah, I gotta tell you, you need some work on grieving what you lost there, accepting what is there, and then answering that question of what do I need to do to become a force for good in the life of my son. And I think that is the big issue. You ask, what should I be doing between now and a year from now? Do that. And do what you can do.
It doesn't have anything to do with a new land. It has to do with dealing with the old land.
Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. You will. You may not even think this, but you will marry. If you married this person from 30 years ago, you will be thinking, once we're married, it's going to be so much better. I'm going to feel so much better about my ex and all that stuff. And you will not. You will not. She will not fix that for you, and you will be very resentful that she didn't fix it. And you won't even know why you resent this person you're so happy to marry, and it could be because she didn't heal what you wanted her to heal. Mm. And so you've got to go back and you've got to do some work on the 7 year ago divorce, which feels like it was 7 weeks ago to me as you talk about it, and build a relationship with your son. If you can rebuild that relationship with your son, you can rebuild a relationship with someone from 30 years ago. It helps that. But I would do that first.
Well, yeah, and that year that you're planning, that you've been planning towards this new person, I mean, you're putting a lot of effort and thought into that. But I think that is exactly what Steve said. It's like that's your road of hope out of the old, but it isn't going to fulfill that for you.
No.
And really, your son is 14.
Right.
He's got 4 more years,
yeah,
at least, at home.
And what here's what I think is that this thing from 30 years ago really could be a great thing, but it's not going to be that because you want it to be that. You really do have to do the hard work from past and then relationship with your son. Alice, anything you want to say before we go? I'm so glad you called.
Mark, it is so unattractive that we're redirecting you back into the fray rather than to the party of this person who she wants you. She's interested.
Yeah.
She wants you to call. Your son might not even want you, and yet God still calls you to make that attempt to be in his life more, even if he keeps rejecting you.
Yeah. Yep. All right, I'm glad that you called. I'm going to send you something that I hope will be a big help to you. It's Every Man's Bible. And if you get into the Word, it's got special sections there on relationships, on a man's perspective. I think it's going to really help you to become the source of Bible study for you. I hope you would get in a men's support group. If you haven't gone to divorce recovery, every person that gets a divorce, they just need to go through it. It really is helpful. And you need a really good counselor that can help you deal with all these issues. And, you know, there is nothing preventing you from texting, phoning, and writing your son. He may not want it in the beginning, but when we persist, sometimes a person's heart opens up and it produces the result we're looking for. So hold on, I'll send that to you. And now let's, man, that's a tough one. I'm so glad we took the time to discover all of that. Let's go over here and talk with Laura from Little Rock, Arkansas. Hi, Laura, how are you today?
I'm okay, how are you?
Excellent. What's going on in your life?
Well, I've been in a Christian relationship with a man for a little over 4 years.
4 years,
and,
all right. How old are you?
I am 57.
57. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we both serve in the same church together in a music ministry.
Okay.
There have been a little bit of a, I guess you could call a red flag that I've kind of felt for some time, and I just recently discovered that through social media, accidentally, and he's not aware of this, that he's been involved in trying to be involved with younger guys.
Okay.
Quite a bit younger, male model kind of things.
Yeah,
and
okay.
One of the sites had to deal with having relationships for gay men.
Uh-huh, okay.
And so my concern is that there is a tendency to either be gay or have a bisexual, and mm-hmm. we've not, you know, as Christians, we both have Christian values as far as yeah. our sexuality, so that's okay. not something that we, you know, we're very... conservative. And
you
all,
are.
But I've felt like there are a lot of, I don't get compliments much, you know,
okay.
that sort of thing that,
all right. let me ask you.
Talk about. And whenever, okay.
let me ask you, because I want to help you, and we don't have a lot of time here. When you saw this, what did you think was going to be the future with him? When you saw that this is what he'd been doing?
Well, we've not very often talked about a future relationship together, other than, you know, we used to pray together periodically, but that has declined, and I don't
but
feel like it's my place.
Yeah. You've been declaring him your boyfriend for 4 years.
Yes, we've been friends for longer, but we've dated for 4 years.
Yeah.
And
so
I want
to go back to that question. Okay, at this point, what? What was that?
That I can't see a future for us together.
Yeah, okay.
I think we need to end it on friendly terms, but I just, unless God shows me differently, I've prayed and fasted about this since, you know, since this discovery.
Mm-hmm. How long ago did you discover that?
Just within the past week.
Okay, all right. I am so glad you called, because we're going to give you some help here. And I'm so sorry that, mm-hmm. I mean, after 4 years, that must have been so painful, kind of confirming. I think you're saying he didn't compliment you a lot, so you were probably having some misgivings and stuff, but it probably confirmed what you wondered about from time to time. And so we'll deal with all that.
Exactly.
If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call. We'll help you the best we can.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking with Laura, who's been dating a guy 4 years, knew him longer than that, finds out he's gone on a website where there are young male models. Jill, you want to start us off?
Sure.
Here?
Laura, I'm so sorry for your discovery. But as hurtful as this is, I'm so glad you discovered it. before this relationship went any further. And I think this is certainly a situation where you have been deceived. I mean, you've thought that you had a man who was a strong Christian and that you guys were having Christian boundaries in dating, and yet unfortunately you may have been a cover for his secret life. And I don't know if you picked up on what Steve was saying, that you are the conservative one, Laura, with the conservative values, that this man has a secret life that wouldn't necessarily fall into conservative Christian values.
And, yes,
right?
I agree.
So you've sat with this for a week now. What have you thought about in approaching the subject?
Well, there's also a secret, I wouldn't call secret, a fake ID on the social media, and that concerns me, because then I think, I don't really know this man. And so, having come out of an abusive childhood, I have a tendency to fear anyway. So now I feel like I'm afraid of him, even though he's given me no reason to be. But
he has given you reason to be.
Yeah,
he's betrayed
no
you. He's lied
yes.
to you, deceived you.
Okay, well, I guess that is true.
He hasn't, and in 4 years, he's never said, I want you to truly know me. I have a fake, false identification thing or persona online. I'm going to these websites because I'm interested in young males. I mean, when you date somebody for 4 years, usually that means we're moving closer together to get married at your age. You're not closer to him. You're farther away from him. Alice, what do you think is her next step?
I'm so glad you're willing to consider ending the relationship, because I do hear uncertainty in your voice, and I think you might have a tendency to downplay your own radar, that you felt that there was a red flag, you couldn't put your finger on it, and to have come from an abusive childhood, your tolerance level is probably way too high for pain, and it was forced upon you as a child. So I agree with you taking this protective move, and I think the sooner the better. And a complex part I have to bring up is, if he has a position of leadership at the church, in the music program, and if he mentors young men at the music program, do you have any sense, Laura, of obligation, although it would be risky, that you need to bring any of this to the church?
That's very sensitive. I realize that. We do have a small church. We don't have a very many young men present at the moment. But, yes, that is a concern. There's also concern that if I discovered it so easily, then... And in my prayer this morning, I realized what I was saying. I was saying, I'm trying to protect someone. It's not my place to protect.
Yes, it is.
I was thinking, well,
Your place to protect, but it's not your place to protect him. It's to protect the church and to protect anybody else that he might influence, saying, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm doing the music program over there, and what I'm proposing to you is actually okay. So your protection needs to be of the people that might come in contact with him. That's always our priority. If we know somebody is out there trying to lure in other folks, especially when they have a heterosexual relationship that, for all appearances, seems normal.
Laura, it's really unfair that this is...
rephrase that.
This is dumped on you, and it's unfair that you have to deal with it. But I think God is calling you to a heroic place here of revealing a truth, of righting a wrong. And so you might consider saying to him, the church needs to know about this. It'd be better if you told them, but if you're not willing to reveal this to them, then I will have to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess what I should have clarified, that it's not my place to protect him, and I believe that's
right.
What I was trying to do.
That's
by
good.
Just going to him directly
and
talking about it, because... I need to protect myself as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think your call alone was courageous, and I think you have this courage, and I think you want to do the right thing. And it's so sad when someone quote-unquote good like you becomes a victim of duplicity. And that's really what we're dealing with here, is the duplicitous life. And I'm so sorry you've invested so much in
him. I know.
Four years.
And Laura, can I just caution you? I think when you do talk to him, it needs to be, if it's in person, it needs to be in a public place. And I want you to be aware that he may be, I don't know him, but he could be a fast talker. He may play on who he knows you to be and get you to doubt what you saw. So I want you to be aware of that, to be confident in what you saw, right? Even write it down.
Take a screenshot of it.
Yes. Have that so that when he plays on that, especially with your abusive background, he may try to gaslight you and make you doubt reality.
Well, here's the other thing. If she had a counselor, and we can get one for her, and she went to that counselor and laid this out and then said, I'd like for you to be with me when I talk to him about this, I think that's the safest and probably has the most good, because we want him to be restored also.
Right.
God's on his side. God loves him, wants him to turn this thing around. And so I hope and pray that you would get a counselor so that it's not just you and him, but you've got a third party there. All right, I'm going to send you, let me send you Jill's book, The Secrets Women Keep. It's going to be an encouragement to you. I want to send Take Your Life Back also. We've got an emotional freedom workshop coming up, and there's so many issues that we deal with there, and everything we've dealt with today is there. And if you want info on that, go to newlife.com or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, today, when you think about these phone calls, here we are on a Christian call-in show, and we've had a person who gets violent for the first time after 2 years. We have somebody who separated for their son, unresolved issues with a woman after 7 years. And then here, 4 years of dating, and she's seeing that he is on a website with young male gay models. That is what we deal with here. And it's not pretty, but we're so grateful that a person can feel safe enough to call us. Now, I need your help. I really need your help to continue to do this. Our airtime is so expensive, but I think it's worth every penny. Sometimes we hear, you're the only counseling I ever got. It was in the car. I would either listen to the podcast or turn on the radio, and you're the counseling I got. I had great teaching, but you're the thing that caused me to think about the issues, the struggle that I'm dealing with inside. And so we want to continue to do that. And you can help us by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and I'll send you this book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression. Thank you, Alice. Thank you, Jill. Everybody, pray for these folks who called us. So sorry I could not get to these other phone calls today. God bless you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.